Welcome to Marvin Methodist Church. My name is Doug Baker, and I'm the lead pastor. As we continue our celebration of the Easter season, today we continue a new sermon series entitled Transform to Overcome. Each message will celebrate a potential change that God brings for you through the power of the resurrection of Christ. Let's join in as God invites us to experience a new way of living.
As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Thank you for the music program today, and so the special guests here for the Story family for Aria's birthday. Yesterday was the celebration. Birthday was Friday, but so good to be with you today, and thank you, choir, for being back after a break from Easter. We're glad you're here, and glad that you're here today as we gather in Pearl Hall and those online as well. I want to let you know just an extra comment about Diego Mercado, and that is this, that while Diego was being interviewed, one of the things that we did, we had him in some very small settings, coffee shops with some people from the Knot class that are in the 30 age range. And he was asked a question about entire sanctification by one of our church members. Number one, I love that our church members are asking about entire sanctification. And number two, the fact that he handled that question without any difficulty shows you the maturity of this young man. And his parents and Emma's parents, very involved in the Woodlands Church, which is a great church. That's the only church he has known. So we're very excited about his coming, and I think you'll be blessed about what he will bring to Marvin Church. Again, good to be with you today. Let's pray. Lord, as we now sit at your feet, I ask that you might do a good work through the word as it's proclaimed, that you might speak through me, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that those gathered here will get a word from you, that Lord, in the midst of life and its distractions and all the things we try to accomplish and do, that today, in this moment, we'll hear a word from you, that we will live and act upon that word as you've called us to. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Well, are you familiar with the acronym DTR? Any hands on DTR? Younger people? Okay, a couple of people know what DTR means. I know if you don't know what the acronym means, you have probably experienced it at some point in your lifetime, especially if you're a married person in the room. DTR means to define the relationship. It simply means you come to a point where you need to define, are we going to continue to date each other? Are we going to be exclusive in our dating of one another? Are we going to be seen as a couple, boyfriend or girlfriend? And that's what you do when you define the relationship. The young people call it DTR. Well, Gene and I had a DTR moment and in College Station when we were both in college, and many of you have heard this story, so I'll tell it very quickly. I was spending a semester at Texas A&M Galveston pursuing some marine transportation. I was in the Corps of Cadets. We were marching in at Kyle Field with the main campus, and I invited Gina to come down from Baylor to be a part of this celebration and to watch the march in. We'll go to the football game together, and well, you know the tradition at Texas A&M. You know, when A&M scores a touchdown, you kiss your date. And, well, A&M scored a lot of points, 42 points. It was fantastic. Yes. So, I think I had forgotten about that tradition. I don't know if Gina knew about the tradition, but when everyone around you is kissing their dates, well, I tapped her on the shoulder and I said, "Can I kiss my date?" She said yes, and as it goes in the phrase, the rest is history, right? So DTR, we're going to talk today about defining the relationship and how important that is for us. Because what Gene and I did is, after that football game, we went there as friends, but when we left that football game, something had changed. So we needed to define the relationship. We went to a park bench, which, by the way, years later, that's where I proposed to her at College Station. And so there, oh, I know, thank you, yes. At that moment, we were defining the relationship. We had what we called in that day was the talk, right? We were going to have the talk. John Ortberg, in his book, God is Closer Than You Think, talks about spiritual DTRs, spiritual defining of the relationship moments. As Jesus is moving throughout his ministry, he doesn't just travel from town to town and just throw out a bunch of teaching and just to see what sticks. He was looking for people to define a relationship with him. He was looking for people who would follow him. They would apprentice their lives after him. They would become a disciple of his. And that is what we would refer to as a determination of relationship. In this sermon series, we're talking about transformed to overcome. Last week, it was being transforming our struggle that we have sometimes with insecurity. And today it's going to be about struggle with, as you saw with Sarah, right, distraction. How do we struggle with distraction in a world with so much to offer us? Today we're going to be talking about the thing that is better, the thing that is needed, the thing that can never be taken away from you. And that is the growth and the transformation that happens as you follow Jesus Christ, and Christ does a good work in you. I hope you'll understand what's happening in this scripture. It is a radical scripture. The very fact that Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet was unheard of. That was not something that happened in the first culture, especially the days of Jesus with rabbis. Women just did not do that. It's not where they found their place in society at that time. In fact, if we were to say how many women disciples were there of rabbis, the count would be a big zero. There were no women disciples of rabbis. But Jesus, we know, is different. Jesus is God in the flesh, and the astute student of Scripture recognizes what I'm going to refer to as another acronym, the M.O., right? Here we go. It's Latin, modus operandi, or modus operandi, however you want to say it, Jesus' mode of operation. Jesus' mode of operation in his ministry was that of acceptability. His method or behavior of routine was loving the person in front of them, noticing those who came close to him, and ministering to those who approached him, even though society was trying to push them away. We saw him relating to women. We saw him relating to children who climbed up in his lap. Jesus invites us all to sit at his feet and to learn from him. I pray that that's why you're here today. I pray that you desire more than anything, not only to praise God in this worship setting, but to also get a word from God that you can apply to move you a little closer to the heart of Christ as you center your life on Jesus Christ. Let me say this. I've used this expression before, that Jesus loves you so very much, he will accept you the way you are. But he also loves you so much, he will not let you stay the way you are. He is about transformation. He is wanting to take you and change you and to make you into the person that God desires for you to be. And to have the heart of Jesus, we need to hear this teaching today and even the reprimand of Martha. And there is no doubt in my mind that Jesus loves Martha. The biblical witness and the tradition state that both Martha and Mary and also their brother Lazarus were deeply loved and were very good friends of Jesus. Anytime when he would be in Jerusalem, he would oftentimes stay in their home at Bethany, which is just, if you've been to the Holy Land, very close by Jerusalem and the Holy City, out the Eastern Gate, just you could do the walk yourself. And friends, he is there to celebrate the friendship. He's in the area of Jerusalem, and he shows up. And of course, when Jesus shows up, there are others with him, his disciples, and probably some other people that are following along with him as well. We're not sure how many people were there, but Martha is getting worried. Martha is the one of hospitality. Martha is the one who makes sure that we have food in the house and everyone will have a place to sit. And she is worried about many things, so much so that it's becoming a distraction. And in verse 41 and 42, we hear the gentle reprimand. Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but only few things are needed, only indeed one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Martha, Martha, as he says, and using her name twice, I don't know about you all, but whenever I was in trouble, my mom pulled out my middle name, right? Douglas Monroe, you know, you need to listen to this statement, what it's following. You need to pay attention. You need to change of course. And I think Martha, Martha, here is that same loving way in which God oftentimes can speak into us and bring a reprimand to us. The book of Hebrews is very clear. God disciplines those he loves. Just as parents discipline the children that they are entrusted with to raise up, so God does disciplinary work in our lives. So Martha's reason for being worried and upset, we'll get back to that in just a moment. Let me just step out of that story to a very personal illustration. And that is yesterday about 10 to 10:30, you know what happened here in Tyler, an incredible hailstorm. Little pea-sized hail. Who knew it could do so much damage? Not serious damage, thank the Lord. I haven't heard of any major things that were damaged. But look at our yards, everybody. Are you with me on this one? Our yards got torn up, little shredded leaves everywhere. Well, friends, we have house guests. And my brother and my sister-in-law are here in worship with us today. They were showing up around right after lunch yesterday. And Gina and I have been working systematically for the last 2 to 3 weeks, getting the yard in shape, trimming up the flower beds, and making everything look just spectacular. Planning to barbecue out this afternoon. Knew the weather was going to be great. Really proud of the garden. Gina had been pulling weeds. We've just gone over the top. And I realize my mother was the exact same way. When company came, the yard always looked fantastic. It's just something that's a part of us. I enjoy yard work. Gina enjoys yard work. But are you kidding me? 2 hours before our guests arrived, you all know what happened. Your yards looked like my yard, and it's like, oh my gosh, there are leaves everywhere. Every driveway, every sidewalk, every patio, every flower bed covered in little pieces of leaves that got shredded by the hail. My goodness, oh, hail King Jesus, right? We sang it this morning. But friends, let me tell you what I realized yesterday. I said, I got about an hour here before Bob and Lindy show up. I'm going to get out there and do some work. I just can't stand this. Anybody with me on this? House guests are coming. And I made myself a promise that when they pulled up, I was going to stop working. That was a big growth area for me. Because, friends, I don't like to stop what I'm doing for relationships all the time. I kind of have to finish the job, right? I work a lot of time. So this was a big deal for me. But I was preaching about not being distracted, even by the weather, even by a messy yard, and not enjoying the relationships that were coming our way. So you can ask him if you want after worship. They pulled up. I'm out there sweeping the curb. I stopped. You drive by my house today, half the front yard is cleaned up in regards to at least the curb area. But that's my story. Let's get back to the scripture. That's what you're here about today. She is distracted about all the details, all the things that need to be done, making sure everybody has a place, making sure there's going to be enough food to feed all these people. So much of a distraction is going, it's getting her worked up to where she intervenes into the teaching moment, we assume. She doesn't pull Jesus aside. We don't have all the details, but she becomes a distraction herself. And she makes an accusation of Jesus. I don't want to be the one to do this. Jesus, don't you care? Wow. Did she stop herself as soon as she said that? Jesus, don't you care that I'm here working by myself and my sister sitting out there? And how much she would love that if Jesus said, come on, just sit down and join her. He didn't say that. But he did give her those words about being distracted about many things. And so much so, she's interrupted Jesus' teaching. And so that's what we want to observe today. What is distracting you from the blessing of Jesus's teaching or instruction? Or not that she was doing anything bad, because she was actually doing things that were very good. She was serving the Lord. She was doing the spiritual gift of hospitality. And believe me, I love the spiritual gift of hospitality. There are many people in our church that have the spiritual gift of hospitality. You go to their home, and we have a nice place settings at the table, and the place is decorated, and there's something for everybody, and there's hors d'oeuvres, and I love that kind of hospitality, and I love to experience that. What we want to make sure we hear today is that we don't miss what is best because we are trying to do what is good in the moment. I love the tasty meals, the beautiful servings, the decorations. My family's always been about wonderful, making meals special. And nominations meetings have been so wonderful in the last couple of years because Gail Hollinshead has done such a great job with Holly to make it a table. We sit at their dining room table and talk about who are going to be the leaders in our committees. Isn't that great? Because we're bringing spiritual gifts of hospitality to the work. But we must always remember Martha's motivation was probably very genuine, but it distracted from what was needed, what was better. What could not be taken away from her or from others that were around the table. Good things that take us away from being better things or from better things. Can we just call them distractions today? So here's the question for us. Would you describe yourself as a distracted individual? How about a worried individual? Both of those words arrive in our text, as well as Jesus saying, you are upset about many things, which can easily be translated in some translations, you are easily annoyed. Psychologists and sociologists, and I would add Jesus' wise wisdom to this list, would say that worry and annoyance are the fruit of distraction, of a distracted life. We forget to be centered in Christ. We forget about what really matters. We neglect the relationships that give us life for the things that can easily be taken away in a 10-minute hailstorm. Why? Because we kind of sometimes get things out of sorts. Ronald Rollheiser, in his book, The Holy Longing, was one of the first to sound the alarm many years ago. Friends, this was from 1999. This is before the onset of social media and streaming services. And Rollheiser writes, we are distracting ourselves into spiritual oblivion. Are you serious? If that's what was happening in 1999, what could be said of today's era with all of the cell phone use and all of the media and messages and all of the things that are clamoring for our attention? You might remember the Screwtape Letters. And in the Screwtape Letters, C.S. Lewis is talking about, in this amazing, magical way, he's talking about a demon by the name of Screwtape who's coaching up a younger demon named Wormwood, and he's telling him how to keep a Christian distracted and frustrated, or how to keep an atheist an atheist, and don't let him move towards Christianity. And in that, Screwtape describes one of his patients who was an atheist, who was connecting some thoughts, was moving closer to belief in God. And this is what Screwtape says. I struck instantly at the part of the man which I had best under my control. I suggested it was time for some lunch. And that was enough to get the man distracted away from his thought patterns, his focus in the moment. Are you kidding me? Lunch distraction? How does that compare with the distractions of the cell phone and everything that we're dealing with today? But friends, let me just say, distractions come in many ways. And Screwtape ends this instruction to the demon by saying this, you will find that anything or nothing is sufficient to attract a person's wandering attention. Wow, anything or everything. So what kind of things distract us? Well, I shared my story just a moment about you. Expectations that you put on yourself. The house has to look this way. It has to. Everything has to be in place, so much so that if something goes wrong with that, we can become distracted by that, and it can ruin our time with those that we love. Friends, that's expectations, and some believe that the Aramaic word Marta, which is translated Martha, means mistress of the house. It actually means hostess. She may have been so identified as the woman who was such the hostess with the mostest, we would say, that with Jesus in town, it was her time to shine. And there was no way that it was going to be an embarrassment to either Jesus or others. It was going to be a meal that everyone would talk about. You see what I'm saying? How quickly our identity can be identified with that which is not necessarily that important, a self-imposed expectation. How about social media? Real quickly. Social media, average American, 2.5 hours a day. 2.5 hours a day. Television, 4 hours a day. Is it entertainment? Is it a time to just decompress? Sure, that's okay. But let's not spend so much time of we're also maybe avoiding or being just distracted or binge watching for days shows. Cell phones, the average person checks their cell phone 200 to 350 times a day. Wow. Friends, I once heard a comedian say, I never used to go around my house and go to the phone on the wall and go, oh, I'm just checking to see if anybody's there. Nope, no one's called me. But yet, what do we do with these little black phones in our pockets, right? Right? We're always just tapping them just to see if we missed anything. Do we miss a text? Do we miss a notification? And immediately we're drawn into it. All those things can be distractions. And Keitel Eidelman, in his book, Every Thought Captive, states, hear this, this is good. The enemy knows he doesn't have to get us to hate God. He doesn't have to get us to worship him. He just has to keep us constantly distracted, pulling us away from the reading of Scripture, pulling us away from the worship of the community, getting us to miss out on meaningful communication with others. The results can be devastating to the spiritual life. John Eldridge, in his work, Get Your Life Back, talks about our attention has been groomed and taken hostage by algorithms and by marketers, all who want our attention. But then he goes on to say, and I love this transparency, he says, I like being distracted. Hear that now. I like being distracted because the more distracted I am, the less present I am to the needs, the disappointments, the boredom, or even the fear in my heart. But then he goes on to say, it is short-term relief, but it has long-term consequences. Why are we seeing depression rise in America? Why are we seeing the number of suicides go up in our country? People are distracting themselves into spiritual oblivion and disconnection from meaningful relationships, not only with one another, but most importantly, with God. Distraction affects our relationships. It steals our meaningful moments in life. It keeps us from what is truly needed, what is truly better, and it keeps us from grasping a hold of the love of God, which is never taken away from us. If we are being formed to be like Jesus, then we know we need to be connected with the Christ. So, real quickly, here's a few thoughts. If we're talking about defining our relationship with Jesus, then let's just say Jesus is a priority. If we're talking about our discipleship pathway here at Marvin Church, that we want to have a Christ-centered life for all of our members, then let's say I want to have a Christ-centered life. And if I'm going to have a Christ-centered life, then I'm going to have to push away some of the other distractions and make time with Jesus a priority. We can do that through the studying of God's Word, through Bible reading plans. You don't have one, go to the Welcome Center. There's some that you can select from there. You can go online and look up Bible reading plans, but make a Bible reading plan. Set the phone in the other room and read the Scripture. You can also experiment with a digital detox. I learned a word this week. It's called fubbing. Now, fubbing means snubbing with a PH. And it means if you set your phone even on the table while you're having a conversation or coffee with someone, that the relationship connection diminishes. It diminishes just because the phone is there. Not even if you check it or not. Just the fact that the phone is there diminishes the connection. Fubbing. Let's put our phones away. Let's put our phones in the other room. Let's not have them near the dinner table. And let's connect our hearts to one another. And find that also this practice of mindful consumption. If I'm watching television, maybe I need to say, am I entertaining myself, or am I learning anything here, or am I just wanting to decompress and get a little rest? That's okay. But after 4 hours or so, maybe it's time to go read a book, or go read the Bible, or go have some time of prayer, or have a meaningful conversation with your spouse, or go play with your children, or do something, but get away from the television and the screen. Practice mindful consumption. Also practice single tasking. Wow, I don't know about you, but one of the things they're saying, I didn't really get into this because we didn't have the time today, the neurological studies that are saying that our brains are being rewired by technology. We are more forgetful and we're having a harder time remembering because our brains are changing because of our time with screens in front of us. Do the research yourself, and more research is coming. But friends, we've got to make decisions to single task and not to always multiple task. And especially if we do this with God, if you have a hard time staying focused in prayer time, staying hard time staying focused as you read scripture, that's okay. Just keep coming back day after day and build a new pattern, build a new rhythm. You can start over. The last thing is create the environment for focus. You know, the idea of turning off notifications, leaving the phone in the other room. I love this story, and I've shared this with y'all before about Susanna Wesley. Had 19 children, 10 of them survived to adulthood. Amazing home life to be involved. She homeschooled them all. She was in charge of their spirituality and bringing them up in the faith. But when she needed to pray, you remember the story? The apron went up over mama's head. And when the apron went up, the kids knew, stay away from mom. This is mom's time with God. This is mom's time of prayer. Do not disturb. Friends, we need to create boundaries like that. So DTR in closing, right? Define the relationship. Let's change it. Let's change it at the very end of this. Let's change it from distracted to relationship. Let's work on our distractions so we can focus on the relationship. Not only with those we love around us, but to focus on, most importantly, the thing that will never be taken from us, our relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord. You are invited to sit at the feet of Jesus. Don't be Martha in the kitchen, distracted by many things when the Savior wants you at his feet. DTR, distracted to relationship. Amen.
Thank you for watching our broadcast this morning. You may have noticed that we are worshiping in our fellowship hall. This is due to the installation of our long-awaited pipe organ that should be completed and voiced by early June. Please visit our website to learn more about our church, the new organ, and our ministry and serving opportunities. Contributions can be made to the church or by sending a check to the church. I hope you'll come and visit our church in person, and may God bless you.